Psalms 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Now to go to Proverbs 30, verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Now I'd like to go to the New Testament. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, starting in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, today, I'm mostly going to be in the book of Matthew. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how many times Matthew quotes the Old Testament. I started this project about 7 years ago, sometime in year 2000. I really got tired of hearing we're a New Testament church. So I thought to myself. And recently I was offended by someone who made a comment that when we were in Worldwide, all we ever did was read the Old Testament. And I don't know what part of wearing out about three or four New Testaments I didn't understand about that statement, because I've wore that many out in those years. So it offended me. So there's a perception that we were wrong in some doctrine, but there was New Testament preached. So I had, at that time, I had a Bible that had all the quotes from the Old Testament that are in the New Testament, capital letters. So it was easy for me to look them up. So I started. I'm going to bring some things up here. Okay, that'll work. This screen isn't quite as big as my other screen. I can get everything on. When I originally started it, I started in the Old Testament. Can you see? Yeah, that's pretty good. But that got cumbersome to me. So later on, I started in the New Testament. I switched around to start in Matthew chapter 1 and just went down through. And the first column shows the New Testament. The next one is the Old Testament, where it's quoted from. And I compared to King James and how close it was in wording, whether it was almost word for word. And then I also compared to Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, with my Greek New Testament I had, whether it was word for word or almost word for word. And I also marked if it was in the Messiah, because at that time I was listening to Messiah. So I did that. And I came up, let me see here. I came up with 326 quotes, is what I came up with. I'm sure other people would have different things. Then in the process, when I was doing that, I took the direct quotes. You can hand them out, Catherine. Yeah. Catherine will hand you the sheets out on this for the book of Matthew. It won't be the entire thing, but what I did is I put them columns side by side so I could look at. And this, the total thing for all the verses is 48 pages. I have the words of Christ in red because it just did. I just liked it that way when I did it. So that's a pretty long document there. And the next thing I did was, I started Matthew 5. I don't know why. I didn't start before that. But Matthew 5, I got to verses that weren't direct quotes, and I started looking up different things, and we'll get into some of those verses a little later, where they could, you know, correspond to the Old Testament. And I basically, after I got past Matthew 5. I just did the chapters that didn't have any direct quotes. And basically, I came up with at least one quote, or at least one reference or allusion in all the books of the, in all the chapters of the New Testament. So, the New Testament is based highly upon the Old Testament. Statement from Holloman's Bible Dictionary, he says there's 250 Old Testament quotations. I disagree with him, but I'm not sure exactly. He has approximately includes, let me see here. And if one, he says if one includes indirect or partial quotations, so he might, some of the partial, he might count some that I would count as partial quotations. That could be part of the difference. But he says it jumps to 1,000. I personally think it's higher than that. Let me see. There's one other thing on chart I want to show. Yeah. Here's the chapters in Matthew. I have put them all there. And there's how many verses. Second column is how many verses. There's 1,701 verses. Christ spoke 606 of those verses. That's not all total verses. Sometimes if he spoke one word in a verse, I count it. So it's a little deceiving that way. The Old Testament, I have quoted 56 times. And of those quotation, Christ quoted 37 of them, which is about 6% of his talking was based on the Old Testament, at least. Okay. And originally when I started it, I planned to buy a Bible and actually cut the verses out. And I thought to myself, well, I can't do that because they're printed on both sides of the paper. So then I thought, well, I'll take it and print it out in my Bible program and cut them out. But I never got that far yet. If I ever have time, that will happen. And the reason I chose Matthew is because we just went through Matthew, and it should be fairly fresh in your mind, because it would be impossible to go over all 300 in a sermon time. Now, the study I did not include quotations, or excuse me, genealogies. It didn't include genealogies. It didn't include, like, let's go to Matthew 12, the second. Matthew 12. And verse 3, Christ is talking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, "But I said unto them, have you not read what David did? But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him?" And then it goes on to explain how the priest gave him the showbread to use, which they shouldn't ate because it's holy bread. And to really understand that section, you got to go back to 1 Samuel 21, where that explains about David. And you even have to go back further to understand what the showbread is. So you can't really understand that scripture without having an understanding of the Old Testament and what the showbread is. In verse 40, in chapter 12, it says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly." Well, if you don't know the story of Jonah, that doesn't mean a whole lot. So you have to go to the Old Testament to look at that. Verse 42, it says, "The Queen of the South shall rise in the judgment." Well, the story of the Queen of the South is in 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through 10. So you really don't understand that unless you go back to the Old Testament. And there's another section. There's a number of times... But specifically in Matthew 3, verse 9, it talks about Abraham. We have Abraham, our father. Well, if you haven't read the story about Abraham, you don't really understand it. And Paul quotes about Abraham, if I counted right, it was 28 times, and I think it was 69 total times Abraham is mentioned in the New Testament, if I have my figures right. So you need to have a background of the Old Testament. We aren't just a New Testament church. Many of our doctrines are based on the Old Testament. Lost my place. But anyway, let's go to Matthew 5 before I really get started with the slideshow. And I said that was a section where I was looking up verses that corresponded to the Old Testament. But Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, turn to Isaiah 56. Can't find Isaiah. It's Isaiah 56:2. "For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things hath been," says the Lord. "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." So it talks about a poor spirit, just as it said in Matthew. Matthew 3, or excuse me, 5, verse 4, says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." In Psalm 126, go to Psalms 120. Yeah, Psalms 126. I'm having a hard time finding all the books today. Verses 5 and 6, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves." So those that mourn will be comforted. Verse 5 said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Go to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. Verse 11. "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Just go down to verse 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Go to verse 22. "For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth." Verse 29. "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." And then verse 34 says, "Wait in the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land." So Christ is basically right there just paraphrasing Psalms 34. Let's see here. Let's go to Matthew 5:9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And then go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, and I'll read verses 11 through 22. "Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." Boy, talks a little bit about the story we heard today. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So we're to seek peace. And it talks about the peacemakers and in Matthew. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." There's that poor spirit again that was mentioned in verse 3, I believe, in Matthew. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the souls of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." So, in Psalm it said the peacemakers will be called children of God. And, or excuse me, in Matthew it said they'll be called the children of God. Psalm says they won't be desolate. Go to Matthew 6 And you can go to verse 9 first. And here's Christ talking about what we call the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or maybe not we, but other people refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. Go to Leviticus 22. It says, hallowed be my name. Leviticus 22. Verse 32. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallows you. So, I believe Christ is paraphrasing that verse. Matthew 26. And this will be the last one, I believe, as far as things that are referred to in the Old Testament, but not direct quotes. Behold the fowls of the air, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air in Matthew 6. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Well, go to Psalms 145. Verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all wait upon thee. It's talking of God. And thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. That talks about every living thing. But go to Psalm 147:9. And it says, He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. So there it talks about birds being fed by God. Just the same thing that Christ talked about. Okay, now we'll get into the slideshow. The number of times each New Testament book quotes the Old Testament, Matthew, by my counting, is 56. That's not an exact number. Brian gave me a book to borrow, and there's at least two of them he does not include. There's some places where I felt that the verses needed two quotes, and he didn't feel that way. But then there's some he doesn't have in here that I have, too. So look at Romans. Just look at Paul's writings, period. There's 76, 85, 95. There's 102. If he wrote the book of Hebrews, I do believe he did, he has almost 150 quotations out of the Old Testament in his writings. That's pretty astounding. There we go. Number of times each Old Testament book is quoted in the New Testament. Of course, the first five books are quoted in a lot of times. Psalms is quoted the most. And Isaiah is the second. Now we'll just get into the quotes. I'll read some of them in the Old Testament, and I'll read some of them from the New Testament, and hopefully I tell you which one I'm reading. But this first one, I'll read Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And in the New Testament, it adds that's interpreted God with us. Oh, I hit something. The next one's in Matthew 6:2, and that quotes Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the littlest among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. It says governor in the New Testament, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. It appears to me that that's from the foundation of the world. And that's how that was established. The next one's Matthew 2:15, and I'll quote Isaiah 11:1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now the next one's the same verse in the New Testament, and I have Numbers 24:8. This is the one that Gleason Archer wrote the book Brian loaned to me. He does not include this. I think it should be included because I think it talks more about the Messiah than the other one. I'll read out of Numbers. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. And when Christ returns, he's going to do those things. So that's why I feel that is more about Christ than about Israel. That was when Balaam tried to curse Israel. That was part of one of the blessings he gave them. Matthew 2:18 says, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentations and weepings and great mournings, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." So at that time, Herod had the children that were under, the male children under 2 years old killed. It was a horrible time. The next one is, this one's quoted a number of times. I think it's in three of the Gospels. Isaiah 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And that's out of, Isaiah. The next one's when Christ, the next few are when Christ is confronting Satan. And Matthew 4, 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's what Deuteronomy 8, 3 says. The next one's Satan actually quoting the Old Testament. He quotes Psalm 91, 11 and 12. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone." And the next one is Christ just refuting him. And it's written again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then the next one, he says, Christ says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve." The part, "him only shall I serve," is the part I focused in on there. In Deuteronomy 6:13 it says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name." Joshua 24:14 says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." And then it goes on to say, "Put away your other gods," and at the end of the verse it says, "And serve ye the Lord." In Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, it's quoted in Matthew 15, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, and Galilee of the nations." I like that translation, "the nations," better than "the Gentiles." I have a problem with the translation "Gentiles" for some reason. "The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined." Jesus Christ shined upon the Gentiles. And there I say Gentiles anyway. In Matthew 5:21, it quotes the Ten Commandments. 5:27, it quotes about, the first one was, which was this one, about murder. The next one's about adultery. The next one's about the bill of divorcement that Brian was talking about. And I'll read that out of Deuteronomy 24. "When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house." Well, for some reason, I hit a wrong button. Oh, that's just to see if you're awake. So we got one of them there. The book of Dino 1-1. See, Numbers 5:33. Well, you must be awake because at least you're laughing. If I knew you weren't laughing, I knew I better skip a lot of this. I'll read Matthew 5:33. "Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oath." Many times in these verses, and you really, it's best to read the context of this. They aren't totally in context, because many times in this section here, Christ is is actually magnifying the law. He's going, but I say unto you, and I didn't include that in these, but he is magnifying the law in this section. Okay. But I, in 5:34 and 35, says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. In Isaiah 66:1, it says, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And that's in Matthew there too, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Psalms 48:2 says, beautiful for the situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. There's a quote. Here he quotes the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Here it talks about, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. The hate thy enemy I can't find anywhere in the Old Testament. And I've seen other people, and I don't believe it's there anywhere. This verse, if I'm pretty sure I'm right, we'll see this two other times, that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. In 5:24, it says, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is imperfect. This is another one that Gleason Archer doesn't have in his book. And there's a co-author, but I can't even begin to, I'm not even trying to pronounce his name. But down at the very last four words, when Christ is talking to Abram, or not Christ, God, when he was, what became Christ, he said, and be thou perfect at the very end of that section. It says in Matthew 7:23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquities. And that's out of Psalm 6:8. Depart from me, all you that work iniquities. And it's, I think that's David's prayer, but Christ quotes it. Oh, Isaiah 53:4. We read this almost every Passover. If not in the service, I'm sure we read it before we prepare for it. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And Hosea 6:6 says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Christ just paraphrased that. Micah 7:6, for the son dishonors the father, the father or the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Christ says the same thing. Matthew 11:10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Talking about John the Baptist. In Isaiah 42:1, it says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delights. It's talking of Christ. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. In Matthew it says, and the Gentiles shall trust in him at the end of that verse. Isaiah 6:9, and he said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. So, I don't know why that's doing that. Perceive not. In Psalm, well, I'll read Matthew 13:35. That is, it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that's based on Psalm 78. Oh, there's another one. We're getting close to 2/3 of the way done. Well, here it talks about honoring your father and mother. And that's out of the Ten Commandments. The next part is And it says, he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. That's quoted a number of times in different verses, so I'll read the Old Testament section. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. For everyone that curses, in Leviticus 29, for everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Proverbs 20:20. Whosoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. The eye that mocketh at his father, in Proverbs 30:17, and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. God looks very severely at dishonoring our parents. And you can see in this nation the result of what dishonoring our parents are. I don't know if any of you watch The Simpsons at all, but I despise that show. I've despised it ever since it came on because that's what it teaches. It teaches children to honor their parents, and especially the father. He's a bimbo in that show. Let me see. The next one is Matthew 15:8. It talks about Israel drawing near to them with their mouth and honoring them with his lips, but their heart is far from God. Matthew 18:16, when it talks about going to your brother, and then if he won't hear you, you're supposed to take with you one or two witnesses. Let me see. But if he will not hear thee, I'll start there, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And that's based on Deuteronomy 17:6, Deuteronomy 19:15, and I think it's more places in the Old Testament. Here Christ quotes Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And that's quoted again in Genesis 5:2. And it says, therefore, in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There it talks about honoring your mother and father. Here Christ quotes a number of the Ten Commandments. He has them in different order than what they appear in Exodus 20, but they're still, I believe they're almost word for word. Here's this scripture again that I talked about. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's Leviticus 19:18, where it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's the second time. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Psalms 18:26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. That section of scripture, when they were keeping the Sukkot at the temple during the time of Christ and before, they had a water pouring ceremony. And during that time, they would read this scripture during the water pouring ceremony. Let's see. Matthew 21:13. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And Isaiah 56 talks about it being a house of prayer. Jeremiah says, is this the house which is called by my name become... called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Then Psalms 8:2 says, out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. There, Psalm 118, verses 22 through 23 is quoted about the stone which the builders refused, and that was the Lord's doing. I believe that's almost word for word. The next one, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 22. Oh, wow. Where Christ says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. This is the section right before this. Christ, the Sadducees presented Christ with a problem, that this lady married this man, and he had seven brothers, and he died because of what's in the Old Testament about conceiving seed for your brother. The next brother married him, he died, and so on and so forth till they all died. And the Pharisees presented him with the problem, well, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Because, I said the Pharisees, I mean the Sadducees. And the reason they asked him that is because they did not believe in the resurrection. In verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So he showed them that they don't marry in the resurrection. And she won't be any of their, none of their wife, none of their husband, however I should say it. I'm getting confused here. But verse 31 is the one I want to talk about. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I would have never took that scripture personally and said, this proves the resurrection. Christ did. I mean, I wouldn't have done that. It's just, that's amazing to me. Now we're almost done. Let's see. Matthew 22:37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's a quote out of Deuteronomy. Here's the third time in this Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And it talks about Psalm 110, verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. I believe, if I'm correct, this is the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament. I think it's quoted five places. It might be six. There's Psalm 118:26. Again, the next one's Matthew 24:14, which talks about Daniel 27, about the time of desolation, the abomination of desolation would be set up in the holy place. And then the next one is Daniel 12:11, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This next section is quoted Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened, its going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And then Joel ends it. The earth shall quake, the heavens shall tremble, the sun, the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the next one's almost the same. So that's just another quote in Joel. Here's the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, in Matthew. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and it's out of Daniel. And they shall... I don't know what verse I'm hitting, to do this. Mourn, they shall see the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven with great glory. Talks about his disciples and how they would all be offended at him and be scattered. That's out of Zechariah 13:7. Here it talks about the price, 30 pieces of silver, and that was out of Zechariah 11:12. There it talks about the potter's field that Judas would throw to the potter's field. Psalm 22:18. We read this a lot of times at Passover, at least at this season. And they part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. That's in Matthew 27:35, where it puts that. And here's the last one. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he's quoted out of Psalm 22:1. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's very, we read that at the Passover too, every year. I picked this picture to end with, because we're going to go, you can start turning, I'm going to go over a few more verses yet, but you can turn to Psalm 119, verse 162. The reason I picked this picture is because it shows the pilgrims going to Jerusalem for the feast of what we call the Feast of Tabernacles. And since the feast is only 32 days away, it's a time that we're commanded to rejoice. And I think this is one thing we can rejoice at is God's Word. So Psalm 119, I'll read verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I believe David wrote Psalm 119, and he rejoiced at God's word as if he found a hidden treasure, a great spoil. We have the most marvelous book in the world. It's the key of life, right here in our hands. And we can rejoice at that at the feast. I would like to end, go to Romans 15. This is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. I personally believe, this is my personal belief, you don't have to believe things I believe, I don't ask you to do that. But I think Paul wrote this section of Scripture either right before what we call the Feast of Tabernacles or right afterwards, because it's a millennial setting when all the nations will rejoice. Starting in verse 1, and in this section of Scripture, Paul quotes the Old Testament six times. Verse 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. There it shows loving your neighbor. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproach of them that reproach thee fell on me. And we just read those verses where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For whatsoever things were written, whatever things were written in the Bible before, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be of one mind and of one mouth glorifying God. I don't know, when we're at the feast, if we're of one mind. But when we're at the feast, we are of one mouth glorifying God when we sing songs all together. So that is one time I know that Scripture is happening. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And the fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you've got to go back to the Old Testament to understand that. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to them among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, here he goes, he keeps saying this, and again and again. And that's one reason I think he wrote Hebrews, because there's many times in there where it goes again and again and again. He says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That's quoted out in Deuteronomy 32:43. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. And to me, that's a feast theme, when all the nations will praise God. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now this is one of my favorite verses. Now the God of hope fill you. Put your name in there. Everyone put your name in there. with all joy and peace, that He would fill you with the joy and the peace, and you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I hope everyone has a wonderful feast.